Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Wessex Safety Hour conference call hosted by Stuart Firth. My name is Bob, the event manager. During the presentation, your lines remain on listen only. If you require assistance at any time, please key star 0 on your telephone, and an operator will be happy to assist you. I'd like to advise all parties the conference is being recorded, and now I'd like to hand over to Stuart. Thank you. Please go ahead.
Hello, good afternoon everyone. Stuart Firth speaking here. I'm the principal sponsor for Roots Investment, for those who don't know me. So mainly responsible for the enhancements portfolio in the Roots, but also responsible for the Level Crossing Risk Reduction Fund and process within the Roots. The topic of the Safety Hour today is around safety conversations. Myself and all of John Hulsall's direct reports are expected to conduct safety conversations, as in fact are all of us as managers and leaders within the business. And I wanted to run through sort of some principles around what safety conversations are, what they're for, and some tips around how to run those safety conversations effectively. And I'd be very interested to take questions at the end. Before we get into that, I just wanted a quick recap. Last week, Safety Hour attendance was scored at 70%. We raised 87 close calls, and there were 7 incidents reported which have made it onto the log in terms of being significant from a safety perspective. I'm happy to pick up any questions on those or run through detail on those as a question later on if anyone would like me to do so. So safety conversations, as I've mentioned, they're a key leadership responsibility. The idea is that we use open, honest, and at times challenging conversations in order to get to the heart of fundamental issues. Without doing that, without getting to the root of safety issues, we may well not take effective action in rectifying or acting on concerns raised. It's also really important from a leadership perspective that the leadership team is seen as visible and approachable, particularly in respect of safety. The intention of the safety conversations is that the leader would act as a role model, so they should be walking the talk. Gone are the days where the most senior person on site doesn't have to have all the PPE and doesn't have to have a proper safety briefing and so on. I'm sure many of you will have been on site in days gone by when that's happened. But now I think everyone is expecting the leader to turn up and be the exemplar of safety, which doesn't mean that they know more than everybody else, but it means that they should be setting a standard. We also intend through safety conversations to support our team members, to provide them an opportunity to get things off their chest and tell us what they're concerned about, and also look at opportunities for continuous improvement. How can we learn and how can we develop personally? So in terms of actually running a safety conversation or holding a safety conversation, there are 3 broad areas that might be the intent of that conversation. It could be education. Principally, that's education for the person out on site, not to be confused with the person going out on site in order to educate the team, quite the opposite. It's in order to inform the manager, the leader, the senior exec, of key issues that they need to be educated and become more aware about. A safety conversation could also be to perform verification, and I'll come on to that in more detail, or potentially a safety conversation around motivation, talking to teams about why it's important to act safely and think about safety in a different way. So just coming back to the first of those, education. The purpose of the education is to ensure that leaders are as well informed of the reality on the ground and able to spot weaknesses and have those identified to them that could be a precursor of a serious incident. The idea is therefore that as much information as possible is passed on from the team on the ground. The person holding the conversation should be seeking to understand the challenges that are faced by the workforce on the ground. They should see also firsthand the implication and the consequence of decisions that they take. Those could be budgetary decisions, they could be rostering decisions, they could be decisions about equipment that's available or resources that are available. Very often, there is a view that there's a disconnection between a budgetary decision or a planning decision made in an office and the consequence on the ground. So the purpose is a two-way street here. It's not just that the leader goes onto site and ticks a box. Do take the opportunity and encourage your teams to take the opportunity to escalate and raise issues with you that, that are important and of concern to them. It's important when holding an education conversation that the leader actively listens and avoids jumping into solution mode. Active listening might mean prompting greater and greater detail, probing and testing to ensure understanding of what you're being told, making sure that when you've written it down and you return to it the next day or the day after, you really understand what it is you've been told and the consequences of what you've seen on site or not acting on what you've seen on site. So as well as exploring whatever the task might be or the work that the individual is undertaking, it's also important to understand the thoughts or beliefs or the views of the people on the ground. Trying to establish trust and rapport in order to bring out and draw out the fundamental issues is really important. Key to doing that is to follow the agenda of the team on the ground, not yours. So these conversations are not a PGI. They're not a clipboard type list of things to tick off, like have you got your employer's liability insurance, has the fire extinguisher been serviced. That's a different activity. That's a PGI plan general inspection. This is a much more general conversation, seeking information from the team that you're visiting to understand their issues. So example conversations could be asking what concerns do you have, what could be done to make the work safer, what pressures are you under, and what should we be doing differently as a leadership team. All of those questions you'll notice are open questions, the idea being to elicit a detailed response from the teams. The other key thing about those questions is it doesn't require the person holding the conversation necessarily to have greater understanding of the task being performed or the context of the visit. It doesn't require them to be more competent than the people they're talking to. It's an opportunity for them to inform you. So this is education of the leader, not of the team on the ground. I'm happy to take questions on that when we come to the end. The second sort of safety conversation that might be undertaken is a verification conversation. And the purpose of a verification conversation would be to verify that what we call the layers of protection, those of you familiar with the Swiss cheese model, to manage or mitigate a specific hazard are in place and are effective, and that they're understood by the teams on site. This is achieved through collaborative examination of the hazards and the layers in place. What we mean by that is engaging teams on site, understanding their knowledge and experience to test the effectiveness of the protection. Again, we would use open questions and probing questions and potentially link these into the life-saving rules. Again, it's important that it's not necessarily a case of the person holding the conversation knowing more than the person they're talking to. And in fact, it can be quite the opposite. So asking people about what accidents could happen as a consequence of the work they're conducting, what measures do they have in place to prevent those actions, what do they think of those protective measures? Are they effective? Are they too onerous? Is there a better way to protect? Are there items of feedback that previously have fallen on deaf ears that the team think are really important? And fundamentally, is there a different way that the task could be performed to avoid both the risk and the need for the mitigation in the first place? So obvious examples are around working through the 019 hierarchy, clearly working without the passage of trains, movement of trains adjacent to a work site or through a work site. If that can be avoided, it's self-evident that that would be safer than working in an environment with trains moving. Same questions around isolations and so on. So having a safe system of work is one thing. Understanding the consequences of that safe system of work is something different. And so the purpose of a verification conversation is to check that the team understands the measures that are in place and that they can explain them to you if you're holding the conversation with them. It's absolutely not a test. It's not a tick box exercise again. and the intention is to draw out a deeper understanding of, is there a different way to do this work, and do you understand the significance of the protection measures that are in place to keep the team safe from harm during the activity. Final type of safety conversation is a motivation conversation. The key part here is there's no specific aim or goal, but the idea would be, and this can be linked into the other conversations, the idea is to have a general conversation about safety, to identify things that are good on site and give feedback, because otherwise potentially these conversations are can be perceived as one way and can be seen as sort of digging for fault or digging for things to work upon. For example, if the work is taking place in a tidy work site, we shouldn't take that for granted and need to comment on those sorts of things. If a briefing is particularly well done, safety briefing, we should comment on those things. We shouldn't be taking these things for granted. If there's particular care and attention taken to identify recent competency holders, for example, PTS or POS, or any plant tickets, all of those things would be lessons learned from other incidents where perhaps lip service is being paid to the new starters, for example, and their perhaps lack of confidence on site. So giving praise and giving feedback about the good things that we see is really important. Try to avoid, where possible, policing and focusing on negatives. Clearly, if there's something immediately unsafe you observe, then you're obliged to act upon it. But the intention of these conversations is not, for the sake of it, to pick people up on things which are irrelevant or not directly related to safety. Identifying discretionary effort is key to success in these conversations, and it, clearly it's important to strike the balance between that and coming across as patronising. Have a think carefully about how you would conduct a motivation conversation, but be in no doubt as to the importance and the effectiveness a motivation conversation can have. If somebody's gone the extra mile to do a really good safety briefing, to prepare a site, or to make alterations to a safe system of working in response to feedback or in response to the team or the site conditions, it's really important to identify that, because too often we take those sorts of activities for granted. These safety conversations are not mutually exclusive. So when planning a safety conversation, it's important to know what the primary intent of the conversation is and using a structure and being kind of focused on that area. However, it's always possible to add in and to allow the conversation to move into different areas, always being mindful of what it is that the conversation is achieving. I'll take questions on all of this in a moment. I think the most important thing to, one of the most important things on here is to make sure that people follow through on safety conversations, both in terms of reporting, but also in terms of feeding back to the individuals who were met on site, the line management team, making sure any close calls that may have come up in the conversation are recorded as such and acted upon. And we start to create a bit of a virtuous circle, an environment in which people think and believe that management team and senior management team are genuinely interested in the consequences of the safety conversations. In my personal experience, holding safety conversations on site is one of the most rewarding aspects of my job, and that's pretty much always been the case. I'm unfortunate enough to spend a significant amount of my time in an office and don't get time out on site as much as I would like. But generally, the conversations and the actions that follow from those safety conversations can be really rewarding. And it is really, really useful to make people feel that their views are being listened to and acted upon as a consequence of safety conversations. I've been working through a slide pack here that providing much of the guidance I've been referring to, which I'll make available through Salim onto the blog, if anyone wants to have a flick through the slides to support any conversations. Apart from the safety conversations themselves, I think the final point would be to make sure that in any and all team meetings that managers have, that safety conversations is one of the topics that comes up. And I don't mean just checking has anyone had a safety conversation, but talk about the content, what worked well, what didn't work well, was it difficult, was it awkward. Certainly with my own team, we've talked in the past about how confident people feel about conducting safety conversations. Hopefully there's a few bits and pieces you picked up from today that might improve people's confidence. I'm happy to take any questions offline in future, but they should be a topic of conversation at regular team meeting events. So that concludes all that I had sort of prepared to say on safety conversations. So Bob, if you're listening, I'm happy to open up the call to questions.
Thank you. So ladies and gentlemen, your question and answer session will now begin. If you wish to ask a question, please key star, then one on your telephone, record your name, and press the hash key. Just ensure that your line is not on mute at that time. If you then decide to withdraw your question, simply key star two. All questions will be answered in the order received, and you'll be advised when to ask your question, and all other lines remain on listen only. So just to remind you, if you wish to ask a question, please key star, then one on your telephone, record your name, and press the hash key. Thank you. No questions in the queue at the moment. So again, just a reminder, if you do wish to ask a question, just key star, then one on your telephone, record your name, and press the hash key. Thank you. And there are still no questions emerging. Thank you. Again, just remind you to ask a question, please key star, then one on your telephone, record your name, and press the hash key. Thank you. Again, no questions emerging. Thank you.
Okay, Bob, shall I just say a few more words then?
Yes, certainly.
Okay, so just two final points. One is that as and when people conduct safety conversations, they can record them very easily using the app. For those who don't have the app, if you go onto the Network Rail Wessex App Store, you can find the safety, well, there is a set of forms on there, one of which is to report a safety conversation. It takes probably about 2 minutes to do it. It's really useful, very easy to do, and much more straightforward than recording by paperwork. So I'd encourage everyone to pick those things up. And I guess I'll just reiterate that the point, the three sort of topic areas that we would split safety conversations into, just to recap, education of the person conducting the safety conversation, not preaching to those who you're visiting on site, verification, checking with the teams on site that they understand and can explain the different levels of protection and risk mitigation associated with whatever safe system of work is in place, and motivation, being visible, showing leadership, giving feedback to people around the issues that they've got, the concerns that they've raised, and identifying in particular good practice and giving positive reinforcement when that's observed. So Bob, I guess we give one last round of opportunity for questions. I'm happy to take them offline if anyone would prefer to contact me directly by email or by phone. I'm on the system, so if people would prefer to do that, that's fine as well.
Thank you again. So just to remind you, if you do wish to ask a question, please key star, then one on your telephone, record your name, and press the hash key. Thank you. and we have no questions emerging. Thank you.
Okay. So, Bob, what I'll do then, just in closing, on the basis of no questions, I'm very happy to take feedback offline as to what's been good, bad or indifferent about the conversation that I've led. I would rather have some feedback and make the next one more effective. If there's things that people think could have been done better or differently for this one, please let me know, because I would rather not be wasting anyone's time, including my own. I am genuinely happy to receive feedback, so people please do drop me a line afterwards and give me some feedback. I think, Bob, we'll close it there unless there are any more questions.
No, there are no further questions. So thank you, ladies and gentlemen. That concludes your conference call for today. You may now disconnect. Thank you for joining, and enjoy the rest of your day.
Thanks, Bob.